John chapter 13. Good evening. I had a pretty rocking discipling time today. With Vanna, we went to a gym together, and he had a thing or two to say about the false teachings on Sunday, about his Jesus, and how Jesus was not a glutton. And as much as I tried to convince him that even the devil tempted Jesus with bread, warm, fluffy bread, he wasn't convinced. No, I'm kidding. We actually did go to gym, and I'm very sore. We're going to be having a look at tonight at what it means to serve. Are you ready? Now, John chapter 13, the great serving passage. We won't read the whole thing, but we are placing ourselves as we read a portion of the passage at the Last Supper. And Jesus gathering the guys together in the upper room, the Bible says, took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, and proceeded to go one by one to each of the disciples, each of the apostles, and to wash their feet. Now, I don't know about you, but I was wondering about what it must have been like sitting around that table that evening. That I can imagine a slight little bit of awkwardness. You know, I think it was probably pretty quiet, and sort of Peter, when Jesus got to Peter, you know, Peter sort of had his little thing, but doesn't talk about much other talking. And we're going to pick up in verse 12. John 13, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Luke 22. Same meal, a little bit later. Have a quick peek there. Luke 22, verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go, and it'll be decreed, will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest. And the one who rules, like the one who serves. Obviously, if you know the scriptures, not the only time that Jesus spoke about serving. We've got some great passages, totally different context in Matthew 23, where Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. He says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Mark chapter 9, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all. You know, just to tell you a little bit about my history, when in my slightly younger days, I certainly had some communist leanings. It was one of those things when I was younger, I sort of would look out into the world and I'd see a hell of a lot of inequality. And I think, boy, you know what, this can't be the right way to do things. And you know, you're young and you're idealistic and you don't understand politics and economics, but something in me just sort of felt like this is not right. And certainly, I learned about economics and politics, and I studied economics at university, and it was interesting. I surrounded myself with a lot of different people. The whole political spectrum were my friends at university, and you could imagine some interesting characters. But finally, I became a disciple and decided, you know what? Let me just be a disciple and let the world work itself out. I don't know if you've sort of got to that place, you know, and boy, you know, this is too complicated. Let the politicians do the politics. I'm going to do the Christian stuff. But you know what? There is something about the kingdom of God that really appeals to my sort of idealistic sort of economic political views. And that is, in the kingdom of God, anyone can be great.
That's right.
Doesn't matter how much money you have, what you drive, where you live, doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter how you dress, doesn't matter how healthy you are. You know, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what family you came from. It doesn't matter whether life has been hard on you or not. In the kingdom of God, anyone can be great. Because greatness is not measured in those things. And maybe the world around us will hold those qualities up. But you know what? God looks right past those things. And He looks into our hearts. And He measures us by how we serve.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, recently I've been thinking a lot about serving. And I am very grateful to be part of a family, part of a church that... as Jesus, I believe, values the quality of service in the way that we do as a church, and I think it is a wonderful thing, and I love working with volunteers and different ministries. But I've been thinking about, so what exactly is it about serving that Jesus values so much? That He obviously speaks about it time and time again. At the Last Supper, mentions it twice in two separate teaching opportunities in one setting and in such a crucial setting. And, you know, one of the things that I've come to realize about my own view of serving is that I've been missing one of the very obvious points. I think the last little while, I've spent a lot of time focusing on one's need to serve according to your gifts, according to your talents, according to your abilities. And I think that is in the Bible.
That's right.
And I think it is a part, and it is a very important part of serving God and serving in God's kingdom. But if you have a look at how Paul describes Jesus as a servant... Look at what image he uses, and I'll read this, you don't have to turn there. It's in Philippians, it says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross." That is how Paul chose to describe Jesus as a servant. Doesn't talk about his gifts, his strengths. Talks about how he humbled himself to death. I don't know if you know the title of a very famous passage about Jesus in Isaiah. Isaiah 52 and 53. Anyone can tell me what the title is of that passage? The Suffering Servant. Again, when it describes Jesus as a servant, it describes the aspect of his service as suffering. That Jesus was a servant not because of certain gifts or talents that he was given, and I think those things are important, but he was a servant by virtue of his sacrifice for the sake of God's purposes. You know, I was having a chat with Anna today just about parenthood. And parenting, as wonderful as it is a labor of love.
That's right.
There are things about being a dad that I find incredibly boring to read the same 15-page book with each page only having about 5 words on it 20 times in a row in one sitting is not a gift that I was given. There are certain aspects of parenting, playing hide and seek, getting home, tired, feeling crazy, playing hide and seek in a small room where, you know, AJ will put the blanket over his head and say, come find me. Can I tell you what? Incredibly cute. After an hour, not so cute anymore. I think of ways to, you know, I'll sort of check Facebook on my phone while he's not looking. I'm like, it is not so easy. I do not think that I was given the talent of waking up numerous times in the middle of the night to clean all sorts of stuff off of my baby, my bed, and my wife. It is just not one of those things that I feel particularly gifted to do. But you know what? It is a labor of love. It is a sacrifice. It is what serving is all about. And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. But that's the heart of true serving, isn't it? It's a labor of love. It is selfless. And there is no self-glorification attached to it. Now, I've been working alongside the ministry heads, and we're going to hear from some of them just now, for a while. And you know something that I haven't heard a lot lately is people coming up and just saying plainly, here I am, where do you need me? I'm available. Please tell me where you need me. I don't care what it is. And you know what? Isn't that the true heart of a servant?
That's right.
Hey, you know what? I want to do not what's best for me. I want to do what's needed. I don't want to come with my list of requirements for where I want to make myself available. It is a sense of, boy, you know what? Here I am. Where do you think I can serve? Where do you think I can put myself? And you know what? I will put myself there and I'll give my heart to it.
That's right.
Where is the need? Here I am, send me. You know what? To be able to say, you know what? I don't really enjoy the idea of being on stage. But I can sing. And so do you need me? You know what, I'm not really the greatest with kids and what have you, but you know what, I am a dad and I know my kids need me. And what, is there any way I can help? Do you need me?
Sure.
You know, I don't know anything about sound engineering. But I'm sure I can learn. Here am I. Send me.
Come on, Grandma.
You know what, I don't even have kids of my own. But I can see that you need some help. Can I volunteer to help out with the kids' ministry? Being able to go to the office and say, you know what, I've got an afternoon free most weeks. Use me for whatever you want.
Come on.
Is that not more of the heart that Jesus was asking for?
Yeah.
Rather than, boy, here's my CV of talents. This is where I want to serve. And we're going to have a look at a video and just now, and I'm going to hand over to some of the ministry sort of team leaders to share some thoughts. But what I want to ask of you is three things. Okay? The first one. End the year off having given your best efforts. That we're now approaching the twilight of the year. There's only a number of months. Come December, the congregation splits into house churches. There are only a couple of months left of the year. I want to ask you, have you given your all yet? I was chatting to Greg Doyle this week. He has now been in Kids Kingdom on Sundays. His own kid is there and he's happy to be there. On Sundays since the end of January. Every single Sunday. Now you tell me that we can't find one person to go, hey Greg, you want to take a couple of months off? Let me help you out.
Wow. Come on, gentlemen.
To end off the year having given your all and poured yourself out. Second thing I want to ask you. We are signing up for 2011. And over the period of the next month, you might have someone tap you on the shoulder, you might have your ministry head coming to you saying, hey, you did such a great job this year, what about next year? Next midweek, we're going to have some tables for those of you who would like to sign up then. But what I want to ask you is, over the next couple of weeks, pray for a heart that says, here am I, send me. To pray for that heart. And then the third thing is to make sure that all of your friends and all of your small group pray for the same thing. I know most probably not everyone is here today from your small group, but as a family, as a team, and we've been talking about this for the last month and a half, that we as a family, we serve together. And I want to ask you to make sure that your friends and your family group or your small group get this message, okay?
Amen.
And I want to close with a thought from the parable of the talents. And if you look closely at the parable of the talents, it's not really about gifts and talents. We use the word talents, but a talent is money. It's actually a parable about what you are able to do. For example, I'm not talented in sound engineering, but am I able to do it? Absolutely. And in Matthew 25, the parable ends off where the master says to those that have served, and it is a salvation parable. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and faithful disciple who was baptized on 7th of June, 2005 or what have you. Good and faithful servant. There was a devastating story last week. Many of you know that Mfundo's niece drowned. And we were with him when he got the news and obviously been speaking to him through the week. But she was 1 year old, she drowned in a friend's swimming pool, devastating, devastating story. And one of the things that certainly has been on my heart a lot this last week is just thinking a lot about my own family. And as I thought about my own family, obviously my thoughts drifted to myself. And I thought about, where am I at? And how do I feel about meeting my maker? If it's God's will that it happens soon. And more specifically, would he call me his good and his faithful servant? And church, as I hand over, I want to ask us, let us have the heart of a servant. Let us have hearts that say, here am I. Send me.
Amen.
Amen. Let's watch a little video that the guys have put together, and then I'm going to hand you over to some volunteers to share some thoughts. Thank you.
Are they? You guys enjoy that?
Yeah.
That's what you guys are missing if you're not serving. That's what happens every single Sunday, starting at 8, finishing at 1, depending on the day. That's what a family is. That's what a family does. And that's what I love so much about serving. That's what I see every single Sunday. I see guys pouring their energy, their efforts into this church, into the kingdom, into God's kingdom. And for who? For Him. Not for themselves, but for Him. What I do here, it doesn't compare at all to what the guys do that serves under me. That I assist, that I coordinate, that I make sure things happen. They are the people that make this work. You guys sitting here are the people that make this work. And we need you guys.
That's right.
We need you guys so badly to just serve and say, here I am, use me. Because you guys can make a difference and you guys can experience the same things that I'm experiencing. I tell you, you walk away here every Sunday. Sometimes you're dog tired, you just want to go sleep. Sometimes you're so pumped up because of what happened here. Because you walk into chaos and you walk away and you know you sorted the stuff out.
That's right.
You made this a great place for people to come to and experience God in a way that no one can describe. So I want to stand here tonight and I want to beg you, please sign up for the semester coming up. Do it. You won't be sorry. Come check us out. Come check on Sunday what happens here at 8 o'clock. Just come stand here. Walk around. There's many areas where people are serving. There's many places where things are happening. Even backstage sometimes. You should have seen Werner's face when we had that little table set up there. He thought, what is happening here? Has somebody spoken to these guys already? And this, on the day that we've got a speaker here. We have fun here, really. And you guys are missing out if you're not serving. Please come.
Amen. Well, I actually joined up with the ushers about 5 months ago, and you know, I definitely wasn't born with a serving heart. You know, I was kind of led there by Mariska initially, day one. But you know, without a doubt, it's probably one of the best spiritual decisions I've made in you know, the last 2 years or so. You know, the lessons that I've got from joining the ushering ministry, just in terms of, you know, developing relationships with the other brothers and sisters in the church, getting to know people, getting to know how the church actually functions. You know, I think often, you know, you come in on Sunday, leave, you know, you feel like, oh, you know, these chairs just magically appear here, and these little balls and the music, everything just kind of happens, these little pixies here or something. But it definitely doesn't work like that. You know, there's a lot of hard work. I feel, definitely feel honored to be up here carrying the usher flag, you know, when there's been guys like Cyril and Carol who are really kind of furniture in the usher community. They've been here since day one. You know, Cyril's actually got processes where he's got his ushering jersey that he puts on before ushering and changes before like the actual service starts. And then, you know, when you've got processes, you've been doing it for some time. And yeah, you know, I think kind of, you know, the 4 minutes that I've got to kind of really just tell you about the ushering definitely isn't enough to kind of explain all the benefit that I've got from serving in the ushering ministry. It's done massive things in my life, and to the point that I'm actually signing up for another, you know, signed up for another term without anyone holding a gun to my head or anything like that. It's incredible. I really just want to encourage everyone to, you know, give it a bash. You know, first time, the first ministry that you sign up for, you know, ushering might not be for you, but there's plenty of ways that we can serve. And I think there's, you know, there's just such a talented group of people in our church. And, you know, definitely serving in the ministry makes it, instead of being church, it becomes your church. You know, you kind of helping grow the church. You really leave your feeling that, you know, I was like one of the elements that made a great service. And every single time I walk out of church on Sunday, I might be tired and I might be a little bit sore from carrying chairs or whatever, but I definitely feel completely re-energized, and definitely want to convince you all guys to give it a shot.
Hi,
I enjoyed much more back there than up front, yeah. I think what I want to share about is something that Peter mentioned already, is that I feel so much a part of the family of the church. I spoke to James earlier this week and I said, I cannot not serve. If I don't serve and I'm not here this Sunday, I feel like a part of me is missing. As I stand there, I get chills because I'm quite shy, but I remember the chills that I would stand there during the service after we had done the setup and after we served alongside the ushers, and I would get chills because I've been a part of getting something together to be able to worship to my full extent. And that's what I enjoy about the serving. I've made some notes. I think what else is that I got to know a few people a lot better than I would have if I didn't serve. And that's a major thing for me. If I come here on a Sunday and I fellowship, I get to know people on the surface. Mostly deeper if I want to go deeper, but being here for longer than 10 minutes on a Sunday morning and even after, I get to know people and what's going on in their lives, and I see how they enjoy it as well. If I can mention the team, there's so much that each person plays a part. If one of the guys decides to not do it, it would be hard for the team, not because they do something for us, but because they're not there as a person. And I think their character, the way they do things, the way they make you laugh, the way they make jokes, that's important in the team that we are. And that makes us enjoy the serving part of what we're doing. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Vanna just asked me to tell you what it is that I do. I'm basically I suppose if you could call this the Starship Enterprise, then that would be the bridge over there. But I stand at the back and I just make sure that you see whatever you see on Sundays. Yeah, I'll explain a bit more about that. But I think the main thing is that, you know, I've also, like they've said, I belong to a great team, really. I've been part of a great team before, and I am part of one right now. And I guess my question for you would be is that would you also like to belong to a team that, you know, presses the right buttons and gives you a little bit more exposure than your point-and-click camera? Or, you know, do you really want something that's... That'll allow you to release a bit more of that inner crazy that you've got that no one knows about, but you just want to give it, you know. So, well, you can do that. There is a team like that for you. We're at the back there in the bridge. And I'm going to quickly introduce them to you. Gustav likes to call it his beams of pure awesomeness. But he and himself and my brother Barent is responsible for the lights. And what you see on Sundays, the smoke and all the good effects. And then obviously, Peter and Steph Kuturi on the cameras. They do a great job there. The lyrics that you see, and even the video that was played tonight, that was Ian and Jill. Of course, in the mix, like you saw in the video, is Jeremy and Vickers. Now, we're not just all fun and games. I do want to highlight as well that I remember one morning coming in and Jill had actually bought coffee for everyone. And it was just like, you know, because I don't know about you guys, I really live on coffee. For me, it just starts my day. And, you know, that really taught me about serving, because I thought no one asked Jill to bring coffee. That was before we had the trolley, that trolley over here, by the way. She bought coffee from McDonald's for everyone and came in here with two trays of coffee for everyone. No one asked her. You know, Gustav that moved the screens at the back here because they're not exactly right, so he moves it a little bit, or the light's not exactly right. So he's a perfectionist, but he's a perfectionist in the team that he's working in, and he really wants to give excellent results. And obviously then Ian, who was at the back tonight again, I didn't have to ask him. I walked into the room and his Bible was there already, which is just so typical of him. And even Jill, you know, on their off days, I get here and the guys are here already. It's like they're off day. They're not really supposed to be helping today, but they're here anyway because that's what they like to do and they want to be excellent. And that really challenges me. Because obviously I have my days as well where I feel like, I don't really know if I can commit to this. And then I think, gee whiz, you know, these guys, they're just dishing it out on that side. So, and then I want to come. So no, we're not all fun and games. We are serious about what we do, but we like what we do. And we definitely strive for excellence. And my question to you would be, is you know, if you feel like you've got some creative talent, or you feel there's something that you need to release, why don't you join us?
Amen. I think by now you know. No, I'm waiting for the music to start playing. I think by now you all know that the only area that's left is worship. And obviously I think, you know, when we think of music and, you know, the Bible, we obviously think of the psalm. And I come across, you know, very short lines. And Psalm 100 says, and this is a psalm for giving thanks. It says, shout to the Lord all the earth, worship him with gladness and come before him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is God. It also says in the 105, sing him songs and translate his wonders into music. Last one is, I set your instructions to music, God, and I sing them as I walk this pilgrim way. And I think that's what we do on Sundays, you know, as we put what we read in the Bible, you know, what we need to follow, you know, every day, we put that to music. And my role as the team captain, the worship team captain, obviously together with the rest of the worship team, is to create an environment where people can experience intimacy with God, community with one another, and obviously influence with outsiders. I think there's nothing more encouraging, and I'm sure the worship team will see, and I will agree with me here, there's nothing more encouraging than someone coming to you after a Sunday service saying, thanks. My spirit got lifted. It's been a tough, you know, day. It's been a hard week. I'm having a tough time dealing with life's demands. But thank you so much just for encouraging my faith. I thank you for lifting my spirit. I think, I feel refueled. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's what we get, you know, to be a part of. I think what, you know, serving in the worship team has done for me personally, as I've been able to connect with God in absolute amazing, amazing ways, and I obviously still do so every Sunday and, you know, every midweek or every practice that we get together. I think worship has also grown me as a person and as a daughter of God. And last but not least, it's also it's enabled me to build community, you know, with one another and with, you know, our worship team. And I can tell you, at 7:45 on a Sunday morning, sometimes the wheels come off badly. We often arrive here without makeup, and, you know, the guys are tired, and, you know, the week's been long. And I think we get to, you know, be so real with one another. And I think, obviously, we need to connect as a team before we can be one in order to connect with, you know, the congregation and lead you guys into, you know, a worshipful time with God. And, yeah, I think, you know, just linked with that is obviously building incredible, incredible friendships. I think, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, Yvette and your parents, Stan and them. It's just because we don't live in the same area, you know, we don't hang out, we're not able to hang out every, you know, Wednesday or Thursday evening because we don't stay in the same area. We're not in the same Bible talk, we're not in the same small group. So we get to actually, you know, get to know one another just because we serve in the same team. And that builds incredible, incredible friendships. I'm just so proud of my team, if I can call them that. I lead the worship team together with Donnie and Yolanda, two incredibly talented people, I think, who so inspires me, you know, by just giving their hearts and their everything to worship and, you know, to the church every single time. I also just, you know, think of the rest of the team. I so appreciate each person. I know that you guys have seen them grow and develop incredible strengths right before your eyes. And sometimes we're almost too scared to, I remember Yulita and I wanting to dance the first time to sing. We're like, can we do this? And we see the smile on your face. And we see the smile on your face and we're like, are we looking weird? Like, you know, what's going on here? And it's just building, I think, incredible connection with, you know, each other and also with the church. I know you've seen, you know, Warren grow and leading some songs on his own, which I think is incredible. And I'm sure you will agree with me that you've not seen a phlegmatic on fire like you've seen Brent behind those drums. You could rewrite a book on, you know, phlegmatics, man. But such incredible, incredible strengths. The last one, I'm not sure if Piers is here tonight, but I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. But a couple of days ago, someone actually asked Piers, so how's it going with your cycling? And Piers said, you know what, I actually don't get time for that nowadays. I've decided, or whenever there is spare time, I'd like to actually, you know, practice on my guitar, you know, when there is an hour or two to spare. And Piers has not, I think... he didn't receive a natural gift for, you know, playing the guitar, but he's developed an incredible, incredible strength and has become an incredible strength, you know, to our team over the last couple of months by just pure dedication, by just pure giving his heart and saying, you know what, this is what I want to do and this is what I want to serve. This is the area that I want to serve in. So, you know, I so appreciate every, you know, every single, you know, person in our team. And you know what, maybe you don't know if, you know, that is your gifting, if singing or playing an instrument is your gifting tonight. And, if it is, please come and chat to us. If you're not sure, please also come and chat us. We can help you, you know, find out whether it is. We actually want to do auditions, you know, next week, Sunday, after Malcolm Cox's service, you know, after church. So please do come and chat to either, you know, Dani, myself, or Yolanda. If you'd like to, you know, join us on the worship team. Because, yes, we would like to be a lot more representative of our city and of our church, you know, obviously including all cultures and including all ages. If you'd like to, you know, give it a shot, please come and chat to us, because we get to inspire people and we get to bring glory to our Father. Thanks.
Amen. Isn't it just encouraging to hear and to see what everyone is doing? Now I know that next time when we're going to meet, we're going to be talking more about Kids Zone, and we're going to be talking about administration. But at this stage, can I just get all these team leaders and everyone that serves in their team? So whether it's ushering, whether it's worship, whether it's production, whether it's operations, so can you stand? Everyone that helps us prepare a Sunday service, can you please just stand? Let's just give them all a hand. Let me tell you, you guys rock. You really do. I think we have great Sunday services. I love coming to church. And I think of the end of last year, towards the end of last year, we sort of try to assemble these different team heads to be able to help us lead these different things. And I think you guys have each proven yourself to be outstanding. I know these are the team leaders, but I know the team leader is nothing without the team. And I just want to explain to you what everyone actually does. The first guy to speak was Peter Huston. He's our operations manager. He is responsible for everything that happens on the site on a Sunday. Okay? And then after him was... what's your name again, Simon? After him was Simon. He's part of the host team. We obviously combine a host and ushering team to be able to have a warmer feel and feeling in everything that we do. Then was Gerrit. Gerrit's in charge of the sound desk at the back with his whole team that is sitting at the back there right now. They make sure that you can hear us every Sunday and obviously midweeks. Dries is actually our production guy. He is responsible for all visual and lights, and his team makes sure that we get visual lights in every setting that we have, and then step together with Donnie Landalita, the worship team and worship. Let me tell you, these are hours of training, of meetings. We have had, towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, we have met again and again. We sit sometimes, the worship team, the three of them, meet every Monday morning. From what time do you guys meet? 6:30 or 7 or something like that. For an hour. What do we do well? What can we do better? On a Monday morning, how can we do that better? We would have a once a month operations meeting. What did we do well? What can we do better? Because this is the kingdom of God, people. Nothing deserves our greater effort than what we do for God. And for me, always, I feel when I see people slaving away at work, I think to myself, you are spending your best efforts and your best energy on the wrong thing.
True.
And yet people make great movies and they do great at work, what have you. But here's what matters. This is where lives get changed. This is where people are influenced. This is where I remember meeting Joseph after our first service in Life Healing Choices. And he said, oh man, Life Healing Choices, I came for some healing here. and just a couple of weeks later, he became a Christian. Why? It's because people put in the effort. And let me tell you, it is worth it. Okay? It is worth it. Ask each of these people that are influenced by our fellowship if it's worth it, and I tell you it is. I pray that we will be praying about this. And I pray, as Curly said. Now, let me just tell you what Curly does. That's my new name for James. What he does is he, except for being a great friend and a gym partner lately, today. I actually told him afterwards in the meeting on Sunday, I said to him, how can you say such things from me from the pulpit? Do you not understand that I speak more often? And I will get back to you at some point. James makes sure that we actually have the volunteers. So we've got the team leaders, and he makes sure that we have enough people and kids, and everything goes back to him. I think he's done a phenomenal job with that, and certainly helped me a lot with that. James actually came to me sometime last year and said, how can I help you more? How can I lift burdens from you? And I said, but I can't handle this anymore. I'll help build the team, I'll help us with training the team leaders, but please, can you help us with volunteers? And I've done a tremendous job with that. But again, everyone counts, everyone makes a difference, everyone is involved, but we need you. Okay, so pray about it, and as James said earlier on, tap someone on the shoulder and say, listen, I've not seen you serving in a great capacity before, or maybe I didn't see, maybe you're doing it in super silence. But I think a number of people are wearing a number of hats here, friends. And I think some of them are getting burned out because some of us are standing on the sidelines. And I'll ask you, get off the spectator stand, get onto the field, and play the game together as we all serve God. Amen. Let's close up with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much that we get to be a part of something so great as your family. I pray that each of us will be inspired tonight, inspired by what you have built through us and in us, inspired by different men and women serving in a great capacity and helping us to be worshipful, helping us in a Sunday, Father, no matter what happened in the week, to be able to come before you and stand in reverence as we sing to you with music, Father, what it is that we experience with you on a daily basis. Thank you so much for every brother and sister that's packing a chair, sweeping a floor, for handing out a Lord's Supper, helping in any way they can, putting up a little banner that says, welcome to the Cape Town Church of Christ. Someone putting out a response card. For each of those things helps. I pray that they will feel encouraged tonight. I pray that they'll feel strengthened, and I pray that us as a group, that we'll reflect and pray and figure out where can we serve, and that we'll have that spirit that James shared about tonight. That we'll just be able to say, here am I, send me, I want to help, tell me whatever way I can do it. Father, we love you, and we praise in the Son's name. Amen. In closing, if you, James, I don't know what his thing is. If you feel called upon tonight somehow, where you just feel like, man, I don't care what it is, I want to do something, speak to James. Okay, so even though there are no lists out or whatever, and you just feel like, listen, put my name up for whatever, please speak to James. Everyone, thank you so much. I hope we all have a wonderful time, our fellowship. Amen.